It is part three, the much anticipated pick from Pastor Gabby in our parable draft. So let's get to it. So now, with the third overall pick, we have Pastor Gabby.
Come on, Jesus.
Let's go. All right. So my first choice is the parable of the talents. So Matthew 25 and Luke 19. And so I'm just going to read the key verse. Matthew 25, verse 29. It says, "For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them." So I like this parable. I think it's easy to understand what it means. And I like that, like, the master left and he had three servants and he gave them a different amount of talents to keep. And the one that had only one didn't do his job.
Mm-hmm.
But what I find that is interesting is that he gave talents to all of them. And so if I apply this to our lives, we all have something that we can multiply and do something with it.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it's like, it says one talent, but it was a lot of money at the time. So it seems like it's not a lot, mm-hmm. but it was a lot that he could have multiplied and make it bigger. And he didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. The new NIV, the 2011 NIV, calls the parable of the talents the parable of the bags of gold.
Yeah.
Come on.
It's more accurate, but man, I'm old. Yeah. I miss the parable of the talents. You know, obviously.
James version, that's the better one.
Yeah. Obviously, to our culture, they have no idea what a talent is. You know, like, oh, you're good at stuff, right?
Yeah.
You know, no, it is talking about bags of gold. You know, like, it's a weight measure of amount of money, which, you know, gold coins presumably. So parable of the bags of gold, but it is something that's important. These were bags of gold. They got one bag of gold, and a talent was the weight that was reasonably expected for an adult male to be able to carry. So it was about 70 pounds. So a 70 pound bag of gold is one talent.
Yeah.
That's not that bad. I mean, like, oh, I only got one 70-pound bag of gold. Like, that'd be worth a chunk in today's world. It wasn't worth as much. Gold wasn't as valuable back then as it is now, though it was very, very valuable. But, like, there would be gold, actual gold coins, where in today's world, the gold would be worth way more than whatever it was minted to be worth. You know, because it's probably, what, $2,000 an ounce or more than that?
I don't know.
Right now?
I'm figuring it out.
I think it's less than that.
Somebody talk to your phone. I got young people here. You can just do that.
I'm getting there, okay?
Can't you just go push the button and say, hey, how much is an ounce of gold worth?
Gold value per ounce,
$1,784. Ooh, it's down a little bit. There you go. Time to buy some gold before the coming apocalypse. Though if you want to go by the book of Revelation, you could just get a quart of barley, and that would be worth
today's
wages.
In today's value, according to that, 1 pound of gold, if 1 pound is 16 ounces, is $28,000.
$28,000 per pound?
$544 per pound. So you multiply
times
that
by 70.
Yeah, you got a lot of money. Almost $2 million.
Almost $2 million. Yeah.
I'll take that.
Anyone
want to give me a talent?
So how valuable is what God has given us?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the things that even the one with the least valuable amount that they've been given, like what is the value of the life of a human being in the hands of God?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like super valuable. The bottom one was almost $2 million. That's chunks of money.
Yeah.
Bag of gold, man.
Yeah.
Come on, I'd like to be straining under the weight of the amount of gold I have to carry around.
Upset you're carrying that 70 pounds of gold?
Right.
Like, come on.
Build those quads up, man. Yeah.
Chasing them squirrels. Building quads.
I got Daniel to crack there. He broke.
Like an egg. Yeah.
I think it's interesting, like in this parable specifically. So like the guy that got the least and did nothing with it, you know, got into just some trouble with it. But his response to his master, I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. look there, you have what is yours. And I like that. I like that they kind of explained his heart towards the master, because he didn't respect his master. He had like these negative ideas of who his master was, and so he didn't want to do anything good with it. And I just think of, like, man, when you believe lies about God, like, you also get a look into end times and how that can mess up the future. But when you believe those lies of God, it just totally undermines anything good that you could do.
Yeah, I think that's an incredibly powerful point, mm-hmm. because this individual was afraid, and if we go to the full analogy, afraid of God and unwilling to serve God because mm-hmm. of the perceived dangers.
Right.
Then buried the talent, didn't use their time, treasure, and talents for the kingdom of God, and then was extraordinarily harshly judged, for that. Mm-hmm. And didn't even steal it.
Right.
Didn't go and waste the $2 million on wild living. This isn't the prodigal son. Yeah. This is someone who returned all of the money and then got the response, "You wicked, lazy servant, you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has the 10. And then jump into verse 30, and throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So again, this is the book of Matthew. I got saved. I'm reading this as a brand new believer, 19 years old, 20 years old, and thinking, oh my goodness. Right. So from this, the emphasis on personal effort is very high. Mm-hmm. You go back to what you were reading, Tom, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 about it's not the one who plants, it's not the one who waters, it's God who makes it grow. Absolutely, we need to trust in God and see the hand of God and the power of God over everything and the plan of God over everything. But also you have incredible things like the parable of the talents talking about the value of individual effort for the mm-hmm. kingdom of God and the danger of not putting in individual effort for the kingdom of God.
Right.
And I think it's very powerful, but the reason this individual did not serve God was because he was afraid.
Yeah.
And I think there are a lot of people in today's world who think God is mean, he's angry, he's looking for a way to get me, so I better not do anything because I might do it wrong. And besides, the devil will get me if I fully submit my life to Christ and try to serve God. And so they bury their talent because they're afraid of God and they're afraid of the devil. And the good news from the parable of the talents is, hey, man, just go let her fly. If you just end up with like deposit on the bankers, a little bit of interest, that's cool. This isn't hard. Yeah. Show up for church, do your tithes, and maybe volunteer at Sunday school. That's got to be past, putting your money in the bank to get interest. I don't think it's an unreasonable expectation. Mm, yeah. But to bury your talent, to not do anything because you're afraid, is a dangerous place. And so helping people not be afraid of God, I think, rather than shaming people, because that's the normal Christian response, I think, is like, you rotten people need to work harder for Jesus. Right. And then all that does is add shame to fear. And now you've got just a bunch of negative emotions, and that's not going to be helpful. Mm-hmm. What you need to do is realize God is good. He's going to be with you through this. You might stumble and fall from time to time. I've had church events where no one showed up, been there by myself feeling like an idiot.
Great time.
And I've had church events where two people have showed up, and the
so
team,
much worse.
Yeah, so much
it
worse.
Is.
The team was bigger than the congregation. Mm-hmm. And, what are you going to do? You just keep going. I've had times where I've made actual legit mistakes, And obviously this is a parable. It's not a real life scenario, but the one with the five bags the five talents gained five more. Well, was it only gain or was it this? You know what I mean? Like, right. Oh, sure. I'm down to yeah. 4.5 now. Right. Ooh, I'm up to 6 now. Oh, back to 5.5.
Stonks.
Ooh, you know, like this sort of thing, which that's how I see serving God is you're taking some risks. You're walking by faith. And sometimes you have some things that don't work. You know, you're discouraged because you've been doing street witnessing and that beautiful, you know, blonde haired guy that talked weird, like he's from up north, you know, didn't respond how you wanted.
Thanks for calling me beautiful.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
So we want to, yeah. Let your light shine, man.
Oh, yeah. Take that literally.
That's right. Just, anyway. Sound effects are very helpful.
Yeah.
But now I am chasing the squirrel and I forgot where I was going with that. But,
squirrel left.
The squirrel, yeah, the squirrel got away on that one. I was chasing that squirrel, and this squirrel got away, and that one got away too, so I'm kind of lost with that. But I do think the parable of the talents, it was definitely on my top list, you know, one that I thought of using, because it is a powerful one and really shaped my view of serving God. I do think I took it a little too far, taking personal responsibility without trusting in the power of God, but like, thank you, Lord, for dying for me. I'll go do some stuff for you. Yeah. And just hang on. I'll be back. And then went on my own strength. Mm-hmm. And that was the mistake I made in interpreting the parable of the talents, was putting all of the weight on my shoulders and not being like 1 Corinthians 3, where one plants, one waters, God makes it grow. So rather than trusting God for the increase, I was feeling a personal responsibility for the increase and taking it too far in that direction.
Right.
And I think that's very, very dangerous, because it leads to, fear and self-condemnation and a panic, like it's up to me to save the world. And when it clearly isn't, it's up to me to be obedient to God and be faithful to what God has called me to do, and then to trust God with the rest of it. So I love that parable, but that's how I misinterpreted it, by taking too much personal responsibility, and not even in doing too much, but in just carrying a weight of what the results would be that really wasn't my responsibility to carry.
Right.
And I think that's a dangerous misinterpretation of the parable of the talents. But I think in today's world, most of the time, people are rejecting personal responsibility and not realizing that God will hold us accountable for the effort we put in for the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. And that's extremely clear from the parable of the talents, or again, the bags of gold.
The bags of gold.
The $2 million bags of gold.
Come on. So, you know, because it's called the parable of the talents, mm-hmm. I feel like the direct interpretation people take from that is then, okay, these are the person with the five talents is like super good at singing and can preach really well and these different things. And I think sometimes we take it literally in that sense, in that talent sort of a way.
Yeah. It's very interesting that the word for bags of gold or bag of gold is the word that we would use for ability.
Right.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
I think, because I've thought about this some recently, just, you know, one person getting one person getting two, one person getting five. It seems somewhat unfair in a way.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I've wondered if we take it to, because it's called the parable of the talents, we take it too much like, okay, who's really good at worship leading with their voice and plays guitar really, or whatever.
Right.
Whereas, like, I think if you keep reading, then you go into the sheep and the goats, and when you reach judgment day, you don't see, okay, how well did you worship lead? How well did you preach? Right. It's for while I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. Mm-hmm. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. You invited me in. And it's these things that really have nothing to do with just raw ability, but just how you love somebody.
Sure.
And so maybe it's not just, okay, these physical talents we have, but it's more about how you love people. I was curious to see what you guys thought of that.
Yeah, I think it ties back to Tom's number one overall pick in letting your light shine,
yeah,
is letting your light shine being a great worship leader, mm-hmm, or is it actually loving people and paying attention to other people, noticing what's going on and being an encourager and a strengthener? Or is it the great worship leader who spends their time in the green room and the stage and the resort, and that's the only places they ever go?
Yeah.
That's not, I don't believe that's what, mm-hmm, the talents are talking about. It's not the most talented person. It's the person who serves the Lord very effectively and makes a difference in the lives of other people. It can be stage ministry, sure, but I think it's about your life, and that ties into Matthew 7, 21 and 22, 23, where it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven,
right,
mm-hmm, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? This is high level stuff.
Right. Right. Yeah.
You know,
I've heard people say, oh, see, the, you know, charismatic gifts aren't very important. I don't think that's the point Jesus is making. I think the point Jesus is making is you can be in the religious world doing high level things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
But if your heart isn't right towards people, if you're there for selfish reasons, if you're there because you want to be awesome and on the stage and you want to be the man and, you know, you're going to name the ministry after yourself, you know, and that sort of a thing. Like, I think that's dangerous, you know. And verse 23, then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you, away from me, you evildoers. You know, that means that they didn't love people, that they, you know, that they were not people who were here to show the love of God to everyone, you know, the poor and the hurting and the disenfranchised and the lonely, as well as, you know, the top level of society. You know, I mean, the love of God is for all of those. And so definitely, I think in the Christian world, we can think, oh, I checked all the religious boxes,
right,
you know, and that's not necessarily going to get the job done if we're doing it for the wrong reasons and we're not sharing the heart of God.
Right.
So, yeah, that's a very important point.
Well, and what's really cool, I actually had this in my recent sermon that I preached, Galatians 5, verses 13 through 15, where it says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another, for the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. So I think it's very clear that, first off, it's not about us. And second, just love people. Like, I think like the Old Testament, like the Pharisees were like the top notches of the church, right?
Oh, yeah, yep.
Like they were the ones. But then clearly, like, Jesus had an issue with them because it's like, you say these things, but you don't do them.
Yeah.
And so, like, obviously, this like stuff where we could say that we did all these things, we could boast in that. We could say, like, wow, we're so good because I loved some, or no, not, I guess that kind of defeats my analogy, but like, I got like 500 salvations my last event. I got, I donated $1 million to the church. I can play guitar very well and I can do all these things, but really, it's not about just.
Let's say those 500 salvations, you knew you could make an emotional appeal and give an easy way for people to check a box on a card.
Right.
And you knew that 80% of those are going to be garbage and shallow soil and meaningless. Right. But you take those 80 and you 80%. So now you've inflated your salvation numbers times 5, and you use that to market your ministry,
right,
and raise money.
Mm.
Now you're walking down a dark road.
Right. Well, and that's why I think it's very clear that the Bible tells us just don't like make it about you, about things that you did. Like even Paul talking about like dusting off the feet. Like Paul basically said, like, I was the Jew of Jews. I was the creme de la creme, right?
Yeah.
But like, I was the top notch, right? But I still consider that nothing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it said, like, just dust it off, move forward, and focus on the objective at hand.
And the bottom.
That's love people.
Yeah. Exactly. And who gives us all of our abilities and all of the opportunities? And God made us.
Right.
You know, we didn't make ourselves. We have to constantly give thanks to God for even giving us the natural abilities that we have. If it's even like you can run really fast or whatever, you know, yep. like you're good at math, you know, like who made you that way? Mm-hmm. God made you that way. You know, you can develop those gifts, but you don't get to pick.
Yeah.
You have what you have and you can develop it and you got to yeah. give praise to God through the whole thing.
Yeah.
But love is definitely huge.
Absolutely huge. Mm-hmm. When they asked Jesus, hey, what's the bottom line, man? You know, like that guy that was in the crowd who's like, okay, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Everybody keeps saying a bunch of stuff. You seem real smart. What's the bottom line? What's the most important commandment? And Jesus actually answers the question, you know, with two answers. Love God with everything you got and love your neighbor as yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, it isn't, you know, make sure you volunteer at Sunday school and you give this amount and it was because if you love God and you love other people, then
it but isn't, also we need volunteers. I'm going to do a volunteer push.
Not to subvert Pastor Kayla's ministry.
I feel like that's always the example, too. Like, you know, this kid's church ministry stuff is
yeah, just, doesn't really matter.
Right. Really matter. Right. Yeah, anyway. No,
it matters. Pastor Kayla, what you do is
super,
important.
Super, super important.
Thank you.
it is. I mean, it can be the thing that changes a person's life. You know, I've heard testimonies of people getting saved at a VBS when they're like in second grade from a non-Christian home that are now, they're 60 years old.
Right.
And they have been following God because they got saved at a VBS.
Well, and think about the parents too. Like their kid comes home saying, oh yeah, so like Jesus is Lord. The parents are like, wait, like...
I thought I was getting free babysitting. Yeah, exactly. Come on with a kid that's got weird ideas.
But like, but I think that childlike faith, to quote the Bible, is something that's huge because like they just blindly believe it. Yeah, someone told me. I guess, well, okay, cool. Like, no, mom, you're wrong. And then mom starts to believe it. And then
sometimes that can
whole household will be saved.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I'm not actually insecure about my ministry. I do love my ministry.
I really hope so.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
The parable of the talents, a fantastic, again, formative parable in my life. Mm-hmm. And so I think we've got three awesome first round picks with the lamp on its stand, the parable of the sower, the parable of the talents. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being here for part three of our Chasing Squirrels podcast from me and the Squirrel Chasers. We really appreciate you being here. God bless. Have a wonderful day.